Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hello and welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent returnee from rock bottom and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn but are so grateful that we did. So, ever stolen anything? My guest today has, and before you panic, she was 8 and feels terrible about it. Comedian Tati McLeod and I are delving deep into her childhood in France and what comes from swiping brioche. Okay, so the year is 98, 97. We were discussing it before, but we established that it was the year that Harry Potter arrived on the scene. R.I.P. we are currently in rural France, which she also established. The casting team for Harry Potter did not come to rural France.
Sadly not. Otherwise, I think we can all agree with absolute certainty, without a shadow of a doubt, that I would be Hermione.
Without question.
Without question.
Without, like...
One look at me. One look at me.
It's all it takes.
It's all it takes.
Those idiots!
How dare they?
That's it'd be great if that's just what the whole podcast is about.
Yeah, different podcasts, I suppose, but I would love that. Who would your, it should have been me, person be?
Do you know what? We're segueing a little bit before we start here, but I was in the last 10 for Luna Lovegood.
No, you weren't.
I was, yeah, yeah.
Holy crap.
I know. And you know, the girl who got it, Ivana Lynch.
Bitch. I'm going to say the words you're thinking. That little wink to the camera. We all knew what that meant.
We have the same initials and we have the same birthday. And I remember when it happened being like, no.
That is quite intense.
It is quite intense.
That is definitely quite intense. It's funny, yeah. The little child actors that pop out as adults. Like, for example, you know, I've worked with Jessie Cave, mm-hmm. who was in Harry Potter.
I auditioned for Lavender Brown as well.
Got did you really?
I did, yeah. I ran away from school to
so
do that.
So you were in the running. Mm. You were definitely in the mix.
Yeah, yeah. No. I actively tried. You didn't get the opportunity.
I did get the opportunity. Yeah,
but I actively tried and still didn't get in.
Don't know what's worse.
Anyway, it is 97.
Fuck those guys.
97, 98. Fuck, 98, 97. Jesus Christ.
I honestly can't remember. We can go for either of those
days. One of those two. But the most important thing is that we are in France right now.
Yeah.
And I am going to ask you the question that I ask everybody, which you do not have to answer literally because it is not a literal question. But in this moment in rural France in the late 90s, why do you think you've got no friends?
Oh, I know why I've got no friends. I mean, there's two glaring answers, but we'll start with the first one. Mm. Because I was stealing food out of another girl's school bag.
Oh,
And it is something that I'm ashamed of. And I'm taking this opportunity to sort of therapize it a bit and just get it out on the table. That's something I did.
Right.
I don't recognize myself in that person. No. I've never stolen since, but it was a habitual thing I did where I would come into school late because I was always late, kind of like a bit of a late chaotic site family vibe energy, which I have carried through into life now. But so I was always late and I would turn up after everyone had already entered into the class and I would ritualistically go up to this one girl's school bag because I knew that she always had this brioche in a packet and I would open up a bag and I would take the brioche out, put it in my bag, go into the class, come out of break town, playground time, scurry into a corner somewhere and eat the brioche on my own.
I feel like so much more went into this other than the fact that you just wanted the brioche. I think it was about the thrill.
It's so funny. I think it's lots of different things.
Yeah.
Lots of different things that obviously went into it.
Was she?
Fuck knows. But I think she was quite perfect.
Right. Well, that makes sense.
I've never asked myself that question. Mm. But now that I think about it, she was quite perfect.
Yeah. She doesn't deserve the brioche. You small, perfect French child.
Precisely.
You have enough.
You with your, you know, your, and it was a kind of brioche. It was called a peach. And you see them on TV. It's like peach dans la poche. And it was like special.
Peach, peach in a pocket.
Peach yes. Peach dans la poche. And it was like a little brioche with chocolate running through it. That was in, let's just go for it.
It had chocolate in it.
Yeah, chocolate in it. And it was like the perfect school snack.
Yeah.
And I think the problem was, is that my mum just like wasn't a processed sugar kind of woman. She was like a vegetarian when there were no vegetarians in France.
Yeah.
And we weren't allowed to eat anything sweet unless we made it ourselves.
I imagine being a vegetarian in France is quite a difficult thing to do as well.
Well, it was, you were basically an urban legend.
Yeah.
And people would be like, you're not actually, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
But do you still eat chicken?
Yeah.
Like, it really wasn't part of that.
You don't eat the chicken.
Now it's much better. But yeah, early 90s, it was like, who are these weird English people who don't eat coq au vin? Like, this is ridiculous.
Don't talk to them. Don't.
What do you mean you don't want pate? It was odd.
I'm a vegetarian, but it's goose.
Yeah. Computer says no.
Okay. And did she know?
She must have known something because what happened was I was at the local primary school, L'École des Lutins, and I was always in late. And then one day... So I remember there were already some whispers that maybe I should stop what I'm doing because I remember seeing her mum, beautiful, tall, very slim, perfectly formed French woman, like everything you imagine, speaking to the teacher. And you know, like I was very far away, but I was looking at it thinking, I think I know the nature of this conversation.
Yeah.
I know what they're discussing here.
Yeah.
Sort of pointing to her daughter and like a bit of a confused thing. Next thing,
mouthing, peach de poche.
Yes.
Well, a peach de poche.
Well, a peach. And I like to imagine how that conversation went, like as if the girl, can you imagine this poor girl going home and just having to convince her mum, you didn't put the brioche in my bag. And the mum's going, yes, I did.
No, I didn't. I promise you, it's going missing. It's not in there.
It's not in there. It's never in there, mum. Mais maman, c'est pas vrai. And then I like to imagine that this just kept on happening. And the mum's there sort of really starting to think there's something wrong with her.
Yeah.
Like having to make a note, having to like record herself. Like I've definitely, okay, we can agree I've put it in your bag. Yeah. Because to have to go from that to the idea that an 8-year-old from within her class is secretly...
La fille l'anglais.
Yeah, but that too. Was like secretly stealing her brioche because this girl, if the mum said to her, well, is someone taking it from you? She'd be like, no.
Yeah.
It's just not in my bag.
Yeah.
You'd be like, that is mad. Yeah. Like no one is that calculating. No one is that hungry. Like no one is that desperate.
It's so specific.
So specific.
It's always, was there ever a time when you went in there and it wasn't there?
There might have been, but not that I can remember.
Mm.
But what happened was that I pushed it too far. I mean, really, when I saw the mum speaking to the teacher and the child and sort of like the whole sort of like, whoa, what a picture. Mm. I should have thought to myself, now's a good time to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And instead, I didn't. I kept going. The thrill of it.
Turn around and go, you're playing with fire, man.
Yeah, exactly. You're taking it too far.
You're taking it too far.
Just need to stop. Deep. And so one day I walk in, and as I'm elbow deep in her bag, rooting around for the peach, door swings open, teacher comes out and just like eyeballs me. And we both know. I mean, we don't need to know, my arm's in a school bag, like clearly. Oh. But there's this moment of like, okay.
Oh my God.
We both know what you've been doing. I know it's you. She knew it was me. That's why she popped out.
Yeah.
She popped out because she was like, put two and two together and was like, well, who's the girl who's always late?
Yeah.
Who turns her back to everyone and stands in a corner at
who comes back covered in crumbs and chocolate after break time. Like, I don't know. These things must go together.
Yeah.
That is
guilty.
Do you remember what happened after that?
That break time, so she sort of like gave me a look of like, we're going to talk about this, got me into the classroom, the breakdown did come at playground time. She was like, everyone left, and she said, you know, you stay behind. Mm-hmm. And I think, but it was said with so much empathy. Mm. She sort of went, why?
Yeah. But that is the question you would ask. You can't, you do have to sort of just be like, but why? Like,
yes. And also, I think you have to be really delicate because kind of you'd be thinking, are you really hungry?
Yeah.
Like, what? I was stealing food from another girl's school bag.
Yeah.
I wasn't hungry. I was just desperate for processed sugar.
Yeah.
It wasn't a hunger thing because we'd had porridge for breakfast.
Religiously.
Porridge with what would mum do? She'd do what's prunes de jour in English? You know, prunes.
Yeah.
It is prunes, isn't it?
Yeah.
And stuff that sort you like have.
Stewed prunes.
Stewed prunes and apricot. As an adult, great choice. When you're eight, you're like, give me some fucking Cheerios, mate.
Where's the fucking Lucky Charm?
Exactly. Thank you very much. So
prunes. Sorry.
A Victorian child. Yes.
Oh, it's the prunes. I put a thing up the other day being like, did anyone else in their childhood have the thing? I genuinely believed if you ate a prune that you would shit yourself. That's what I was told. I don't know by who.
I don't know. I did think you'd shit yourself, but it definitely kept you regular.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Is that why she was doing it?
I mean, I don't remember not being regular. I don't remember a long period of constipation when I was eight. This has taken its
turn. So there is this like break time thing. That someone's, is it your phone? My phone?
Oh, I just put my phone on Australian mode.
Australian?
On what's that?
Airplane. Mickey.
I don't know where my bag
don't worry.
Is.
It will go in between. It'll be all right. It will get picked up. Won't it? I can't hear it. I haven't got the headphones
it
on.
It will, but it only comes momentarily.
That cat really wants to be the star of the show.
Yeah, he does. Fucking attention seeking.
Just stay here. Stay on that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind, but it's like stay in one place.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
Sorry, I'm already bossing your cat about.
No, it's absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah, I really shouldn't be this bossy given that I stole Brielle's girl's handbag when I was school bag.
But I remember French handbag.
Don't you know they all take Hermes to school?
Yeah, obviously.
It's a Longchamp for major four. She was very, I remember her just being like, why? And me bursting into tears, which probably really added to the sense of like,
neglect.
This child is starving. And then I remember her telling my mum, and I remember my mum just looking really confused. Yeah. Being like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you stealing another girl's brioche?
Mm.
But probably mixed in with a bit of guilt of like, maybe I really have deprived them from processed sugar.
Yeah.
And that's something that I should
this
change.
Is what they are resorting to.
Yeah, having to steal food out of other girls' school bags.
Did he ever do it again?
No, and I have never stolen anything. I've got a real aversion to
Stealing. Crazy.
No, but you know how, like, in your teenage years, some people, you know, they do a bit of it. Like, I know loads of people. I know comedians have got whole sets, hilarious sets about, like, I won't name them in case they don't want it to be public, but, like, they say it in their own shows, but, like, about, like, stealing stuff from Oliver Bonus and how easy it is and, like...
God.
Do you know?
I had no idea.
Oh, no. Apparently, it's like, I feel like such a Michael Bayen stuff. Apparently, people just walk out with bags full of things. But my mum... That was a burp. Hi, I'm single. So, but my mum had a shop. Like, my mum had a shop. She had a boutique in France.
Right.
And she used to sell a lot of, it's quite random, but she used to sell a lot of bongs and, like, even though she was, like, desperately anti-drugs, and I've never taken drugs,
yeah,
and was, like, would kill me if I smoked a cigarette, yeah, even still now, age 34.
Yeah.
She had this shop where she was, like, just, like, quite commercially driven, and she was like, oh, what do I think there's a gap in the market for? Bongs and grinders and, like, weights for, like, cannabis.
It's like,
stuff.
Like one of the shops in Camden.
Yeah, exactly that, right? With some hippie bits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, in rural France.
Did it smell like patchouli in there as well?
Big time. She sold incense.
Sick.
And anything tie-dye.
I imagine you're, like, walking going rural France, being like, ah, feel a sunflower. Shop.
Yeah.
Massive bong.
Yeah, it was. And we're, like, kind of fitting of, like, just like, my mum doesn't speak French.
Mm.
And so I would often have to translate everything for her. And it would just be like a shop full of the school kids that I all knew.
Yeah.
And everyone knew it was my mum's shop. And they'd always come in on weekends and try and steal stuff or, like, tell me about how much stuff they'd stolen from my mum's shop. And it was just like, oh. And so I think that built in that aversion to kind of, like, I've never stolen anything ever. And I know that if I ever tried to, I'd go absolutely, like, burgundy red, and it would just, like, wouldn't happen.
I've never once in my life have I stolen anything.
Have you not? I think we're quite a rarity. I think that makes us really square.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of wish that I had. Like, I kind of wish I had.
Just, like, the bravery of just being like, and I'm not saying a small independent.
Yeah.
But just, like, Tesco.
I was in, remember Eat?
Yeah,
Eat. Yeah. In the days before. Not before Pret. There was also Pret around, but yeah. Eat was there too.
Back in the day. 99, 2001.
Big year
for Eat. But we were all eating.
I was rehearsing a play in Tottenham Court Road, and there was an Eat. And I remember being, like, going off to, like, get lunch. And being stood there, and this man came in and he picked up a sandwich and he looked me directly in the eye and sort of waved it and then walked out.
Backwards walked out.
And it was just so clear that he was going, you're not going to do anything about this. And I was like,
were you working there?
No.
Yeah.
Frequenting the.
Yeah, totally.
The buying my own sandwiches. I'm not brave enough to steal it. But I've witnessed people stealing stuff, but I've never done it. My eldest brother once stole a boiled sweet.
Yeah.
A singular boiled sweet.
Yeah.
Felt so guilty that he forced himself to watch it melt in the sun.
Jesus Christ.
That's intense. That's some, like, Da Vinci Code self-flagellation.
That's the foundation for a book on philosophy.
Yeah.
That's like the beginning of a Salvador Dali painting. I'm so nervous about stealing stuff that when I was at uni, I went into H&M and I looked at some stuff, and then as I walked out, the alarm went off. And I was like, oh, my God. Mm. And I went up to the security guard and I was like, what was that? And he was like, someone's obviously stolen something. I was like, oh, God, okay, weird. And then I walked out, went off again. And I eventually realized that, so I sort of left the store. I realized that it had been me. And I had picked up a pair of shoes that I still had in my hand.
I know, you went to the security guard. What's
happening? Top two, if you're going to steal, be that stupid. He will not believe it's you. I did that a few times in my life. And then was like, looked down. I was like, oh my God. I'd already left the shopping center by this point. I walked back into the shopping center, back into H&M to purchase the shoes that I had accidentally stolen.
Yeah.
Stupid things like that. Like, I remember I used to pay 2p slot machines where I stayed with my grandmother when I was a child, in, like, arcade centres. and I'd bash them to try and get the two peas to come down.
Yeah.
And then an alarm would go off. And I remember turning to the security guard and being like, why has it done that? And he was like, because someone's hit the machine really hard to get the two peas to drop down. I love
someone, because it can't be you.
No, because if you're the kind of person who's going up to security guard to be like,
yeah,
why is the alarm going off?
Yeah,
assuming you're not also the kind of person who's bashing the machine.
Hiding in plain sight.
So it's going to drop down the Powerpuff Girl multi-pen.
Which is all any of us wanted at any one time. I firmly believe to this day that the claw machines in arcade centres do not work, because I've never seen anybody win with one of those.
Yeah, though I'm sorry to break it to you, but I don't think that's a hot take. I think that's the commercial model.
That is pretty common knowledge, though.
Sorry,
so profound. What? You mean they don't work?
What?
No,
it's just a money-making scheme. And the nuggets.
You mean I'm never gonna get the Pikachu and the bottom?
Okay, can we sue them? Okay, why is Martin Lewis not talking about this? Let's email Moneybox.
For fuck's sake.
Which is my mum's solution to everything, by the way.
Or email.
Email Moneybox. I got hacked recently, and I was in the middle of the hack, and it was terrifying. Like, everything got taken, passwords to everything.
Oh, no, that's awful.
They duplicated my phone. I was like, I don't even know if my money's safe, like, in my bank account. I was, like, transferring all my money out. Like, I was panic.
Yeah.
And my mum on the family WhatsApp was just like, yeah, this happened to a woman the other day. She lost everything. Email Moneybox at Radio 4. I said, I was like, Mum, I'm in the middle of the emergency. I'm figuring out whether who I should transfer money to get out. I said, what do you think? Email Moneybox to get spoken to a producer, like, in a week's time. Like, this is not how you manage an my mum would be, we could be in the midst of, like, a zombie apocalypse. Mum would be like, you should really email Radio 4 about this. They'll be able to resolve it for you.
Yeah. Fount of all wisdom.
Yeah.
Email Moneybox.
Email Moneybox.
Send him an email. You'll get a confirmation email that your email has been received.
Absolutely.
Wait a couple of weeks and you'll hear back. Yeah.
Right. what a vibe. But anyway, that's my stealing. So no, I haven't stolen anything.
Yeah. Since. Yeah. I mean, what is something that you have done maybe in childhood or adolescence of that ilk? Similar, maybe, that made you feel incredibly guilty?
Well, not so much adolescence, but as an adult.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so this, though, to be fair, it's like multiple different things, right? So the thing is that I've got three sisters. I'm one of four girls.
Where do you lie in the line?
I'm third.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And my sisters and I would fight like cat and dog, and we would also, like, live in each other's pockets and share everything, but, like, without permission.
Yeah.
So, like, it would be completely normal for me to wear my sister's jumper, which she told me not to wear. Mm-hmm. Like, that was just, like, a given that you do that. Then when I went to university and I lived with, like, a group of girls, I kind of transplanted all of that feeling I had with my sisters onto that friendship group and didn't really established that the boundaries were different.
Mm-hmm.
So I just used to wear all of their stuff without their permission.
Fucking amazing.
It was really bad. I look back on it and I'm so embarrassed. I'm embarrassed of, like, how was I going into that girl's bedroom and just being like, oh, and, like, she didn't say that I could wear this top, but I'm definitely going to wear it.
Yeah.
I was doing that, like, without, now I feel like that's a completely different level of unacceptability. But for me, it was, like, the same as, like, yeah, but I did that to my sisters. Yeah. It's, like, the same.
But how old were you? What, 19, 20?
Like, yeah.
No, but when you've grown up in that environment, it actually does, even things like that, it takes a really long time to rewire your brain to even, like, plant the seed that's a bit of a weird thing to do.
It's 100%.
It's really strange.
Now I'm like, I can't believe you behaved like that. Like, now I'm just like, oh, I kept on using my old flatmate's keep cup and I felt really bad about that, because she'd be like, where's my keep cup? And I'd be like, oh, crap, it's dirty. Yeah. I think it might be in the bottom of my bag somewhere and I really shouldn't have used it again. That's a keep cup. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're talking about, like, elements of cutlery in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I would walk into my friend's room and just be like, oh, that's a cool jumper. Pop it on. Walk out for the day. Like, what is wrong with me? Mm-hmm. It took me a year. And then at the end of that year, oh, God bless her, I gave her a £50 Debenhams gift card.
Debenhams.
Insulting Debenhams. Because I was just like, actually, no, it has dawned on me that that really wasn't acceptable. And I'm really sorry for that behavior.
Yeah, but it is.
Debenhams.
With Debenhams. I had dinner with the Debenhams. Guy who runs Debenhams.
Stop it.
Yeah,
has
weird.
Has it gone under?
I think it might have done.
Or did it get bought out by ASOS?
TBD.
Don't know, but it's probably not in a great place.
No, we had some steak together at the Ivy. It was a whole thing.
That sounds quite fancy.
Yeah, it was quite fancy, actually. It was a bit fancy evening. That was the day when we got given these. This is a side tangent. We got given these gift bags. Really, I love a gift bag.
I love a gift bag.
I had to send on a gift bag like a gnat.
I love a freebie. So yeah. And it's really stupid how much I love a freebie, because sometimes I'll be like, this is not worth the exposure I've given it, because it's worth 20 quid. But the fact that it's free, like if you told me, here's 20 quid, now go and do a social media post about it, I'd be like, no.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not going to do that.
Yeah.
But if you give me a t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. Without
that's
question.
That's worth a tenner. I'm just like, 100%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Oh my God, this is the most generous thing. I'm going to spend the next hour and a half taking a photo of this, feeling shit about myself.
Yeah, totally. And then I'm never going to wear the t-shirt. I hate it. But thank you.
Thank you.
It's ridiculous.
We had these gift bags, it was really exciting. And Dovind and pulled out this mascara and was like, oh my God, the mascaras, they're all, they've got our initials on them. Got our initials on
the
mascara. I was like, that's so cool. And then my sister-in-law turned to me and was like, babe, that's Estee Lauder. EL. I was like, mortified.
Yeah, but that's great because everything's monogrammed for you, Estee Lauder.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lauder.
Estee Lauder.
I don't know if she's German, eh?
Estee Lauder.
Estee Lauder.
I liked your social media post. Social media?
Which
Instagram,
one?
About vibrators.
Oh, I do lots of those. Vibrators and adverts, all of it.
Can we discuss that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
because I'm all about the vibrators.
Are you?
Yeah, because, and I will say this on the record, that I have a pretty severe endometriosis.
Uh-huh.
One of the only ways to manage that pain, Felipe, I do apologize for the, yep, he's fine. One of the only ways to manage the extreme pain of endometriosis is by having a fantastic orgasm.
Are you serious? So when you have, endometriosis, the only thing, my insight into endometriosis, weirdly enough, is the Sally Rooney book, Conversations with Friends.
Yeah.
And I think that's the first time that I was reading something and I was like, because she never names it as endometriosis until you get to the end of the book. And there's a long bit where you think maybe she's having a miscarriage.
Yeah.
And then actually when you read through it, you're like, and that was a moment where it was like, because I also think it's like quite quietly sort of like weaves through a story which isn't only focused on that I felt like, oh God, is that really what it's like to have endometriosis? Like that felt like a really graphic. But is the pain just during your period?
It varies because it causes your period to be so regular.
Okay.
That, like, I remember, like, growing up being, when everyone was like, I get my period on the third Tuesday of the month. And I was like, huh? I might get it on the second Saturday and then the ninth.
So it's because it's a very long period, or it comes back or it will
go away for, like, a month and a half, and then it will come back with like a vengeance. Like,
oh wow, okay.
There's just like no way to track it.
Because I was also going to say that I do think that women get horny when they're on their period.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I think happens as well. So there's a funny thing that happens there. But I guess it kind of makes sense because, I mean, I work with a sex toy brand. I'll be honest with you, until I started working with them, sex toys weren't really part of my portfolio. I was like someone who was like, oh, okay, you know, I definitely did masturbate and I was comfortable with like orgasming and sort of like sex and stuff, but I had never used a sex toy. And then they reached out and they gifted me some stuff. And then I was like, oh, not only do I really like their products, but also I feel like, whereas some people are like, oh, but I don't know, I would feel nervous like promoting a sex toy. Like, how does that like, what is that in terms of like the work that you do and you as a comedian? And I'm just like, but I think it's such a gift to be given. If anyone has an orgasm who's not had an orgasm before or orgasms more regularly because of something that I'm promoting online, I'm like, it's not like the best thing, gift that you could give your followers. Mm. Like there's nothing more positive to promote than like, here's a thing that you can do, right? Which is for free, let's say, or certainly you can buy this one product and then keep it forever. And it will, the gift that keeps giving.
Oh yeah.
It's not a pair of jeans that's going to go out of fashion. It's not a piece of fast fashion that's made, you know, unethically somewhere. Mm. It's like a good quality product. And if you can give yourself an orgasm more regularly, like your life is going to dramatically get better.
Yeah.
Like your mental health, your physical body, like yeah. your well-being with yourself, yeah. your ease, your confidence. Like I think it's so, on so many different levels.
Your understanding of your own body and your own sexuality. And
all
own,
of it. Yeah. All of it. And I think that there's like not enough, like there's so much products that are sold to women, like makeup, hair, how to look prettier. But like, I think that something about understanding your body and feeling comfortable with yourself and an orgasm is like practically internal work.
Mm.
It's working on yourself and how you feel it within your body.
Mm.
And it, there's, I think that there's something really powerful around like self-ownership.
Mm.
I think like having an orgasm, being able to be comfortable masturbating in like full light.
Mm-hmm.
So not just like in the dark, under covers.
Mm.
A masturbating on top of your covers, like being comfortable seeing yourself completely naked. I think that you come out of those experiences feeling like much better in your body and much better in yourself.
Yeah.
And I think that's like across the board. It's like women of all ages, like it never stops the ability to have pleasure.
Yeah.
So I feel like on a deeper, it's like a product that I advertise and that I work with, but like on a deeper level, I'm like, I don't think that there's enough conversation around actually how positive this can be and how empowering it is.
100%. And this is like why I like to talk about the fact that I literally, it is, here he comes. It is sometimes literally the only thing that in any way quells this like unbearable pain that I have. And I have a boyfriend, very lucky to have him, but you know, he does enough. Sometimes, and every so often I'm just like, you know, it is like a real lifesaver.
Can you get to the bottom of what it is physically that it does? Is it a relaxation thing?
I think it might be. Yeah. I think like because it's so, the sensation is so focused directly around where the pain exists that it is like this sensation directly replaces the other, and then I find the aftermath, it just eases. And I don't know, I think it might just be a muscle relaxant.
Yeah, but that's like another thing. Maybe there's like medical benefits to orgasming.
Yeah. I want to look into that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's like, I really feel passionate about it.
Yeah.
I don't think that there is enough focus put on it where I'm just like, you can, that this is, you'll feel so much good about, like so much better about yourself physically, in your mind. And also like I have the privilege of being someone who enjoys sex and orgasms quite easily.
Mm.
But I still think that even if that's not your experience, I think that there are not, that there's so much that you can explore by yourself, which then really helps you have like physical confidence and like, know what you want. It's like research. It's like, it's work on yourself in the same way that you might be like reading that self-help book or doing therapy. It's like masturbation is another way of being like,
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Okay, this is a really important part of my life,
yeah,
which is sex and pleasure and understanding what I like, how I like it, what positions, what my body responds to, what works for me during sex, what doesn't. Like that's a whole other thing that you, it's like I don't know, like cooking or flavors or travel. It's just another part of life which is like there for grabs, which you can enjoy.
Yeah, I completely agree. And when everyone goes, oh, that's a bit mucky, I'm like, weird. Like, what a strange thing to say. No, it's not. And like, it really does. It's been a real lifesaver for me.
And it's so funny because before I started working this brand, I didn't have any sex toys. And then now, when I moved recently, I had to have an entire bag dedicated just to all of the toys I have.
Do you know what I love? I love the idea that, you know, when you do the box and you're moving, you go like plates.
Yes, like dildos.
XL to XXL.
Everything in there. I'm constantly being challenged. Like, one, the event I went to recently was for like a toy for anal play.
Oh.
And I was like, I feel like that's my limit. And then I listened to like sex educators talk about it and talk about it, about like anal play and anal pleasure. And I'm just kind of like, okay, where's my blockage with this? Like, why do I feel uncomfortable about it? Why is that a conversation we're not having more of? Why aren't we more open to it? What, especially when it comes to like men and like our association with like anal and heterosexuality and homosexuality and all of the shame. And I was just like, there is still so much more that can be like unpicked and which we have like conversations to be had. So it's also constantly challenging myself.
Yeah.
Working with those brands and working with that collaboration.
Yeah.
I think in like a really good way.
Yeah, definitely. Learning, understanding. And it doesn't say that like everything has to be for you and you have to find joy in every single part of
definitely
it.
Definitely not. Like,
but I think it is a very individual thing. Different things work for different people. And you're only going to really understand that by doing it.
When I came out of a relationship in which I was with a guy for a while who was like not, like didn't have a very high sex drive.
Right.
That's another really hard thing. What is a normal sex drive? No one knows. Mm. No one, like, it's not, you know, you might hear on, how many years have you been together and should it be once a week or should it be twice a week? Or if you've just got together, should it be every day? Should it be once a month? Like, there's just, and so you can be in these relationships and you're like, I don't know if my expectation is too high.
Yeah.
Or if that, and it's this constant kind of like balancing. And then we broke up and I remember feeling like, you know, I've really felt like I haven't actually been very sexually like liberated in that relationship.
Yeah.
And so I went all into like exploring kink. I was like, maybe this is for me. And I went on all these random apps to like meet people and explore stuff. I ended up going to like torture gardens.
I went. Oh,
did you? Which is like probably the most PG.
I'll tell you. So yeah, we'll talk about it later.
It's probably the most PG of all of them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you know what? I realized it is not for me.
Yeah.
It is not, you know, I just was there and I was like, I'm not turned on by seeing other people having sex in front of me.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I'm not aroused by the idea of having sex in front of other people.
Sure.
Like, it's a really good thing to go through it and then come back around and just be like, she's vanilla.
Yeah.
This is a monogamous vanilla girl.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. But like, that is a good thing to know.
100%.
That it's not that because you're going into that world or because you're kind of like taking an interest in sub-dom that it means that your whole life, especially that world feels like some people for whom it's that entire, it becomes a bit like it dominates the whole relationship.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you can dip into that and then be like, do you know what? Actually, like, that was fun for a bit. It's not for me. I'm going to dip out. And like, it isn't how I want to navigate sexual relationships.
Yeah.
But I think it's good to know that you don't have to step into it and then be like, right, well, this is what I'm into now. It's
well, my whole I'm here now.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm here now. I've done it. So I'm going to do the damn thing.
This is it for me.
Yeah. I had a really similar experience actually because I think like before when I had my breakdown and this all started and I got sober and the rest of it, like before that, my relationships had been very... either like incredibly codependent or I was so addicted to the other person, so like bending to everything and anything that they needed that my own pleasure, my own like enjoyment, that didn't matter at all.
Yeah. Do you mean in like even in a sexual context?
Yeah, in sexual context, in sex, in every corner of the Every corner of the relationship. Like literally, no, I was stood in the middle where everything was like.
Were you conscious of doing that at the time? Or is it when you look back on it, you realize how much you were compromising yourself?
I was conscious of it and everyone was telling me how bad it was. And yeah. I was going, but it doesn't matter because I love him.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And I was so, so addicted to, like, I mean, he was a drug, the last guy. Like, I was so addicted to him that it didn't matter. I would have done, I would literally, I think I've said it in like one of the early episodes of the podcast. I was like, I would have given him my kidney. Like, with if he'd been like, I need a kidney, I'd be like, to get the butter knife, I'd give it to you right now.
Wow, okay, yeah.
I was so completely addicted to him. And so it didn't matter at all. And so when that all, you know, blew up in a pile of smoke and flames, I then had a little, I had a good period of time of just being like nothing. And then went, hey, I'm going to try this and see what this is like. And got on the apps and went to Torch Garden, did all the stuff. And had like a really good time, had a really good time. And it was a, and it was amazing sort of experience of like really focusing on self and understanding. And I did really enjoy it. But I think I enjoyed it because I understood that it wasn't a, that it was like a brief moment in time. And I was like, I'm just going to like see what this is like. But I knew it wasn't like a, I enjoyed it because of the experience of it. And basically being like, I've been on Nemesis Inferno. That was good. I'm going to go back on again.
Yeah.
And then got into another relationship like after, you know, 18 months.
Yeah. But I think it's a cool, I encourage it because I think it's like something which is it's like pushing a little bit the boundaries of something so you can figure out where you are on that spectrum, even if it's to come back to the same place you were before, but it's like an informed place.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's always good, like when you're in relationships with people, it's then a conversation you can explore because you might have someone who's like, well, this really turns me on.
Yeah.
And you can be like, okay, well, I like this variation of that, but I'm not into that aspect of it. Or this is like, for example, something I'm absolutely not into at all is like violence during sex.
Yeah, me too.
I don't like choking. It me doesn't either. At all turn me on. Yeah. But, you know, it's just like, okay, but what are we actually aroused by in that dynamic? Is it a sub-dom thing? And in which case, like, here's ways in which we can explore that that I find sexy. Which don't involve you like mock choking me.
Yeah.
Which some people are into, don't get me wrong, but it's like also maybe actually, and I'm just thinking out loud here, maybe there's a better way of manifesting that. What is the bit around choking people find sexy?
Yeah.
And maybe there's a better, sexier way of doing that that doesn't involve the choking, which is actually quite a graphically violent thing.
It's weird because when I've been with men in the past who have gone, who have like expressed an interest in choking, it's not my thing at all. Mm-hmm. Because of like just like bad experiences.
And it's
always, whenever I've asked them about it, and this is not all men at all, I'm not saying, but it's just the men that I have experienced who have expressed an interest in it. It's always, they always go, oh, it gives you a better orgasm. It makes you come harder. And I was like, does it? Like, or is it just because you are, I think it's more about you than it is about me, mate.
Well, but I mean, I don't, yeah, my that would be my instinct would be like, wow, that's so selfless. But if we're on that journey, why didn't you locate my clit? That would be... Like, if that's where...
Like, you can absolutely see where my neck is.
This feeling is coming from.
Yeah.
There are other ways in which you can manifest that care for my orgasm. But also, I think that that has become such a kind of... It's become such a, like, legend, this idea that, like, you know, the moment just before you...
Like Donkey Punch. Do you remember that film?
No.
Like the film Donkey Punch. Oh my God.
Is there a film called Donkey Punch?
There was a
Punch?
Film called Donkey Punch. It is fantastic.
I find that very hard to believe. Donkey Punch. Who's in it? What is this?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about the idea that if you hit, it was like if you hit a girl, if you're fucking someone from behind and you hit a girl on the back of the head just as you're about to come.
Is it a porno?
No, it's like a snuff. It's a real life film. And they're all, for some reason, they're on a boat. I think because then there's an element of they're not
being
able to escape.
It's not a snuff film. No one dies in it.
Well, not for real.
Oh, okay.
Mm, like, no, not they're, I mean, they're acting.
Okay, good. Yeah,
they're acting the sad.
Just checking in. I was like, how dark is this going? I like how we started with I was eight and I stole a brioche, and now we're on snuff films.
On the petit bush de bush.
Yeah, exactly. The innocence of my childhood quickly forgotten in favor of choke or not to choke.
But it's a film. It was like if you hit a girl on the back of the head, then and when you're about to come, then you will orgasm like super hard. Anyway, he does it too hard, and he kills her. Yeah, it's not a true story.
It's really dark. No, yeah. I've not seen Donkey Punch. Donkey I don't think I'd enjoy that film.
Please, Felipe, will you look up Donkey Punch?
I don't think I want to watch it. I think that sounds awful.
I just need to know that I haven't just that I haven't made this up.
That's a good idea. We should check that.
It is a film, right?
It's a thing, like what you describe. But it's also a film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to discourage anyone from doing
please.
That.
Yeah.
The best advice 5. I think.
5.2 on IMDb.
Nice. How much?
5.2
on IMDb.
That's it. Yeah. Partying on a yacht.
In Spain.
I didn't. That wasn't on my Bridget Jones Foreman's in a Funeral. list of it's not a Richard Curtis classic. It's not.
I think it was one of those films that when I was at all girls boarding school
and was passed around.
Yeah, every so often someone used to like bring in a movie, like do you remember 13 starring Evan Hurd.
Of it, but because I went to a French school, I don't think it was top of our list.
Yeah,
we were watching also, I was not a rebellious teenager. I got that rebellion out age 8 with the brioche sealing episode.
Yeah.
I was like, that's me done. that's me.
I have filled my quota. I am done. Thank you very much, Life of Crime.
Thank you very much. Goodbye. And then I went on to be, in fact, funny enough, someone recently, another comedian, and he said this with lots of love and joy, I think. But he said to me, he was like, I think it's some sort of reference to like, he was like surprised that I like women a lot. I have lots of female friends. I'm very kind of like, I like female environments.
Mm.
Had a friend recently, he was like, oh God, Hindus. And I was like, oh my God, no, Hindus.
Hindus?
I was like, it's my favorite space. I was like, drunk women talking about sex. I was like, where do I sign up?
Yeah.
It's like, that is my safe space. The more women, the better. Like, I have no problem with it whatsoever. Really enjoy those environments.
Mm.
And he was like, but I'm surprised that you get on with women so well because you have big cheerleader energy. Like, would you, like, it didn't, it was just like, do you really get on with girls? Because you're quite, like, cheerleader. And I think that what he means by that is that there's always this thing that happens, and you get it a bit as a female comedian, where people be like, there was this myth that went on for a long time, and it's only just changing, where it's like, you shouldn't put makeup on when you're going on stage, you shouldn't look too pretty, you definitely shouldn't wear, like, a skirt, you shouldn't do anything that's going to, like, make the guys fancy you and make the women in the room be jealous of you. Like, that was, like, a thing which there's still a bit of, but it's something which is, and it's just like not at all my experience of being around women, working with women. It's not my experience from my social media.
Mm.
And I think that there's something in that where it's like always this thought of like other women don't like other women, or like there's jealousy,
yeah,
or that they're gonna like be mean to each other, or you have to present yourself a certain way.
Mm.
So when I was at school, I definitely wasn't this like, my vibe was very much not cheerleader energy.
not since Brioche Gate.
Not since Brioche Gate. I was definitely like the weird English girl. I made people laugh.
Mm.
Well, they laughed, whether I was making them laugh consciously or not, but they laughed at me, with me, same diff. And I just spent a lot of time in the library, really enjoyed safe space.
Mm-hmm.
So my school years were not the kind of, I wasn't going to be bringing in 13.
Yeah.
I was not a bringing in DVDs, hanging out with the, that was a really long tangent to say fuck all. It's a podcast.
No, I love it. It's basically the rundown of what a podcast is, just saying absolute bollocks. I think like, it was weird. I remember being 15.
Mm-hmm.
15. And I had like my first boyfriend.
Cool. Wow. Premature. Early. No, good age. What? I went through all the notions there. I was like, judgment, don't judge, be nice. And then in my mind, I was like, you lost your virginity at 15 and a half. So who the fuck are you, like, sharp?
15 and a half.
Nice. Legal. In France.
I had my first boyfriend, Freddie, name redacted. Mm-hmm. And he gave me a DVD.
Oh, God.
Of porn. And I don't know why. I still don't remember why he gave it to me, or, you know, why he was willing to part ways with it so easily. But I had it. And then about 11 girls, and we went and sat, put it in the laptop, and we sat round and just watched it. No one did anything.
No, we didn't.
We just watched it.
And then it all went back to your rooms desperately aroused.
No, I watched it. I'm so sorry, listeners. I'm so sorry. But we watched it. It was about 11 girls sat in one tiny room going, huh.
But can I just pause here and say, there's not one listener, especially, who's going to be sorry. Like, there are some people who this is literally their fantasy, yeah. And it's so fucked up. No. But like 11
teenage girls sat in a room going, okay. And then I remember we probably watched it. I don't know how long into this movie we were, but we watched it. And then one of the girls just piped up going. She said, is anyone else's fanny beating?
The innocence of that statement.
Is anyone else's fanny beating?
This is a really weird thing happening. Is anyone else wet? It's a really weird thing that's happening to me right now.
Oh, it's so funny.
But that's... Because I always wanted to go to boarding school.
Mm.
That was like my dream. Reading... what was it? What Katie Did Next?
Oh, yeah.
And it was all set in boarding school. I remember being desperate to go to boarding school, really wanted to go to boarding school, like the idea of it. And now I hear like horror stories and people go, oh my God, it was awful. I also wanted to go to like an only girls school. I would have loved that. But no, I went to a mixed gender state school, came back home every night with my sisters.
Mm.
But yeah, I wonder, did you enjoy it?
No.
No, right, yeah. That's the general feedback I've had.
I think when I got enjoyment from it, it's because I so vehemently switched off from any sense of self that, because in that environment, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
If you do not do the things that you're supposed to do, you're gonna get absolutely destroyed.
Do you mean by the other girls?
Mm.
Oh God.
I think when you are 11 years old and you've got 16-year-old girls literally running your life, it's a really damaging,
dangerous
thing.
Is that like prefects or something?
Mm.
God, yeah, it's such a different... Yeah, and in France, you don't have school uniforms.
Mm.
So there's like it's a very different... It's not as regimented. Mm. I think I was excited by like the prospect of organized fun. Yeah. And it's like
there was a lot of that
from the outside.
Yeah.
It's just like a uniform, yeah. And like maybe like
a trunk,
yeah, a trunk. And what do you call it? Rounders.
Oh yeah, round. Did they not play rounders in France?
God no. And netball.
Yeah,
we don't play netball.
No,
no rounders, no netball.
What do they play in France?
Well, all of our sports are mixed, so okay. There's no female and male sports. It's all mixed. And what did we play? Badminton.
French just light years ahead of everybody.
Of everyone. Mm. Badminton. Mm. And they're probably just thinking like, but if we separate the men and the women,
yeah.
What joy would they derive from life? What would be their purpose? How would they function in society?
Please get out the croquet mallets.
Definitely not that. What did we do? Football, tennis, running. I remember lots of running. Swimming.
Yeah.
Badminton. Mm. Played badminton.
Badminton?
Badminton. I mean, is there a less sexy sport? I remember at one point being like, oh, that forearm.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the muscle on that forearm. I used to be like, look at my forearms. Mum, look at my forearms. Feel that one and then feel that one and feel the difference. Feel that one, then feel that one. Look, Mum, look at my forearms. It's just it's just the wrong sport. And that's not even like a jits not because, oh, you know, who wants to, there's nothing hot about a woman with a thick right forearm. There's not nothing hot about a man with a thick right forearm.
Well, I don't think there's nothing hot about anyone with like one arm that's
bigger than the other.
Much bigger than the other.
There's nothing hot about badminton.
Do you know what my ex
shuttlecock.
My ex, I can't remember how many back it is. He played badminton for Scotland, and like that was obvious.
That was a nick. That was a nick.
So mean.
Sorry,
he doesn't listen to this.
I mean, it's just one of those, and it's bad because tennis fit badminton. You're never gonna be. Do you know? Like, there's not. Like the talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
Isn't there? I don't know if there is a tennis scene in that, but it feels like there's sexy tennis scenes. There's not. Do you know what's badminton's Wimbledon? Who the fuck knows? No one watches it. You know, no one's there for it. It's not happening.
It is sort of like badminton is like tennis, but if we were still playing it in sort of 1823.
There's something about it. It's too flighty.
Very flighty.
It's too up in the air. It's all about like lift.
Yeah.
You have to be practically graceful. You know, you're not allowed to not kick off. You're not allowed to alight the fly thing, the shuttlecock underneath. It has to be over. Everything's jumpy, lifty.
Mm.
You know, squash. Squash is sexy.
Squash is quite sexy.
Against a wall. Yeah. Big, banging. Loud noises.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how excited or intense a badminton match gets, it'll just be like
Yeah.
Ding. Ding. Ah. Ding. Ah. Ding.
Look at
it's
my
not
forearms.
Good enough. Look at my forearms. You know, tennis, it's like doosh.
Yeah.
Doosh. Doosh. You know, there's just a lot more.
Yeah.
There's just a lot more happening.
There's a lot more going on.
I know.
Did the girl, the original girl from the story.
Yeah.
Did she stay throughout the entirety of your school years? Did you know her until you were 18?
No, because I changed schools the following year I changed schools because, so I grew up in a female only household and I didn't like men.
Okay.
And I was very afraid of men, especially men who were quite masculine.
Right.
I couldn't associate, I just associated men who looked scary as being scary.
Mm.
And so the teacher in the year above, probably a very nice man, scared me just by virtue of like his physicality.
Yeah.
He just scared me and I couldn't be in his class. I remember just bursting into tears just because he existed.
Oh my God.
It's just been really traumatic for him because he'd just be like, get your books out. And I'd be like, oh, don't speak to me. I'm scared of you. So I had to change school. Yeah.
I mean, like, kind of great of your mum, though, to be like, this isn't working for her, rather than just sort of putting you through it.
No, she wouldn't do that.
I love that.
Definitely not. Especially that I think it probably came out of the fact that, like, I didn't have any men in my life.
Yeah.
So it was just, like, men for me. And I continue to have it now. It's like I would not go out with someone who's, like, I like very kind and gentle men.
Yeah.
Like, very much, like, kind, gentle. I'm not into, like, bantery, aggy, I don't know, whatever that energy is.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
Kind, gentle, soft, kind, gentle, soft.
Mm.
So I changed school and I don't know where she ended up. And then I also went to different secondary schools. So
right. No,
I definitely didn't stay on her radar. managed to like reinvent myself a couple of times along the way. Move away from my brioche sealing days.
Well, if you're listening... It's finally been solved.
Melissa.
I just love it. The idea of that mum putting the thing every day, her coming home going, it's not in there, and going, I put it in there. Did I?
I was like a really early years gaslighter.
Yeah.
I was like early days, just like, well, she says it's in
there. Yeah.
But it was funny because when you said for this podcast, the theme is, you know, the question is, why do you think you have no friends?
Mm.
I mean, that really was a period when I had no friends.
Yeah.
Where I definitely was like the girl on her own on the playground, sort of like inventing weird games for herself, or, you know, in a corner eating a brioche on her own.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, because I was doing weird stuff like stealing brioche, yeah, but also because I was English.
Yeah.
And it's just like that bit of like oddness.
But that's a tough time as well. That is, I think that's like in childhood, being what, eight years old, and not having any friends and being in a weird environment, that's fucking hard.
Yeah, when you don't speak the language.
Yeah.
I was just like learning it, but also concept of foreignness is not one that you have.
Mm.
Concept of coming from abroad is not one you have. So you know that stuff is different, but you can't articulate why you're different or why stuff is different around you.
Mm.
It's much later on that you've got the vocabulary to be able to be like, oh, that was why all of that was so odd.
Yeah.
But now I'd like to state officially on the record, I think I've got like friends.
Yeah.
I've got a good group of friends, or what's actually group? I've got smatterings of individuals who I enjoy spending time with, who I would identify as friends.
Love that. Yeah. If I had to give them the word, I'd call them friends.
Yeah.
So at this point in the podcast, we ask you to, what we've discussed, lots of things, sex, guilt, stealing. What are some things about you that you genuinely love and cherish about yourself?
I think I'm quite resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And I give myself credit for that. Yeah, both in terms of like the work that we do, being a comedian, powering through, persevering with that.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a lot of self-doubt and it's quite difficult and the lifestyle was really hard. And I think putting myself out there is probably something else I'd give myself credit for.
Yeah.
I'm quite good at just being like, oh, fuck it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it. Yeah, it might not be the best show.
Yeah.
But it's the best thing that I can write right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not the best at this, but fuck it. I'm just going to do it anyway.
I think that's such a great quality to have.
I try and get like more of that in my friends who are creative. So just being like, you know, you can't give yourself the pressure of it being perfect, because you don't know when it will be, and it probably will never be to your standards.
100%.
So you've just got to be like more like, fuck it, and just think, doesn't matter what people think, just get it out there.
I love that. I love that. Everyone listen to that. Skip back about 15 seconds and listen to that again, everybody.
Fuck it, that's attitude. Great.
Fuck it, attitude. We also have a portion of the podcast that we like to call Thank You Letters, where we ask you to express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three for which you are grateful.
I think I'm grateful for where I come from. I'm grateful for Brittany.
Mm.
It's probably like, it's my happy place.
Yeah.
It's like the place I go to in my mind when I want to like be like, oh God, what does relaxation look like? And also that I like going back to as a little anchor every year in the summer.
Mm.
I go back to Brittany. I go back to the beaches that I, you know, grew up around.
Mm.
And, you know, just the sound of like the water hitting the sand and lying in the sun all day, and then going to the bar, which is now... the owner's son, who I know through friends because we went to school with, and all that familiarity. Like, I'm grateful for there, and I'm really happy to have a place that I feel that warmly about to sort of go back to.
Is your mum still there?
Yeah.
No Zoom.
Mm.
I love it. That's a really good one. I don't think we've had a place in a long time, if ever.
What,
well,
to be grateful for?
Yeah.
Mm.
I
don't
think we have.
Yeah.
Always still like my mum.
Oh fuck, well now I feel like a bad person. Yeah, obviously my mum too. Jesus Christ.
Is there anything that is coming up that you would like to discuss while you're here? Anything, any shows, any?
Oh God, yeah, that. Oh, no, yes, advertising. Like, yeah, I should probably do a bit of that. You know what? I am going on tour next year.
Sick.
Yeah, January through April. I think all my London dates are sold out. I'm doing a run at the Soho Theatre beginning of January, and then I've got the Clapham Grand in April.
Mm.
But I think the Soho Theatre, they might release some tickets closer to the date. And I've got tickets left. I think I've definitely got tickets left for Belfast, Birmingham, Glasgow, Newcastle, Sheffield, Leeds.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go check out on my Instagram, Tati McLeod. I've got tour shows, and it's going to be a lot about my childhood growing up in France.
I love it.
If people were into enjoy that bit of it,
yeah,
then they'll enjoy the show. If they want to hear more about the girl who was stealing brioche, which doesn't feature in the show, so because it's an exclusive, come and see it.
Melissa.
I mean, that might not be her name. That's just a generic French name.
Je suis désolée, Melissa.
Désolée, Melissa. Si, je peux continuer de
Thank you so much. I'm going to link all of that below. So please click on the link in the bio, and that's where you can find tickets. and all the rest of it. But thank you so much for taking the time to come here to North London.
She was about to give her address. Thank you for having me in North London.
Thank you very much for dealing with Mickey. Mickey's been a bit of a presence today. Also, he's got a winter coat, so he's like twice the size. Looks like a pygmy puff.
Yeah, and I tasted his puff coat, power coat, would you call it?
Power jacket? I don't know.
Power jacket. Speaking of kink, he would be a power top. He is a top, 100%. Look at his attitude. Look at that regal vibe. He's dommed the fuck out of this room the whole time we've been here.
He was a kitten when I went to Torture Garden. He was
really?
A kitten.
Did you take him with you?
Well, literally, when I was, because we had a little pre-party and a load of people came around. They were like, why don't you just take him on a lead?
Because I need to save my lead for a man.
I need that space available.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, you know, no.
Give him another one of vibes.
Yeah. All right, but thank you so much for
thank
coming.
Thank you for having
it's been
me.
Such
it's been really
a
fun.
Joy. Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.